Just a brief message from the topic of music and singing in the church. And I have that as the main text, Psalm 98, but I'm just going to be reading that and going on to many other scripture verses to reinforce what we're going to be speaking on this afternoon. And so you can turn in your Bibles. What page is that, Bob? In that pew hymn?
We don't have them down here.
Oh. Got so used to depending on the page number. That Psalm 98. You'll have to find it on your own. A psalm. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. For he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and with the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and all the people with equity. Let's pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we desire as your people to give you praise and thanksgiving and do it joyfully, Father, when we praise you for the gift of music, for the gift of singing, and for the blessings we have as God's people. You having put a new song in our hearts, even praise to our God. We're thankful for these things, and especially that we can do it all in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thankful for the Holy Spirit that enables us to do it as well. And Father, we just pray for your glory in this message now, and you bless your word, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, it's probably not the most uncontroversial topic when we start to speak about music and singing, especially in the church. Probably won't get much controversy outside the church. It's just a matter of preference and what kind of music you enjoy. But in the church, there's over the years, there's been controversy about music. If you think, there should be, since the music, the singing that comes forth from God's people being prompted by the Holy Spirit, which I believe Scripture teaches us, if there's anything that should be not controversial and not a means of bringing disunity in the body, it should be singing. But sinners that we are still, even in Christ, that's what it's done. And the reason, I think, one of the reasons anyway, is that it's very subjective. Music and singing, type of music you like, is a subjective thing. I mean, I could take a poll here amongst everybody here, and you'd probably all have preferences as far as just Christian music. I'm just talking about music that we would sing in the church. Some people like the new songs. Some people like just the old hymns. Some people, we may have one or two that would just want psalms. I don't know if we have anybody that's the psalms-only people, but certainly the psalms are great. And we know that the psalms are what? They're songs, right? Written by David and other people. We just read one from the sons of Korah. But they are songs that are to be sung primarily by God's people from the heart because God has saved us. And we're to declare his praise, first and foremost, back to him, to give him praise and thanksgiving. And music, singing, enables us to do just that. And it is in a wonderful way. There's nothing like it, being able to sing and give God praise and thanksgiving, which we're supposed to do. So that's the blessings. And throughout Scripture, God's people have sung, right from the beginning of redemption. We don't have the first few recorded songs. I'm sure that God, as soon as he began to work in the hearts of men and women, that they sang to the Lord in some form or another. And we have recorded songs throughout the Scripture, not only in the Psalms, not only in Song of Solomon, but throughout. We have Moses, the Song of Moses. We have a Song of Israel, the people of Israel singing to the Lord on occasion of victory. And that is often the case. When God's people are victorious, we give him praise in song. And Deborah had a song, and others, there were other songs in the Bible. As we mentioned, the great songbook of the Bible is the Psalms, but it's not only the Psalms. We're to sing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual song, and making melody in our heart to the Lord, primarily, first and foremost, to the Lord, but not only the Lord. We are to sing for our own heart's sake, to ourselves, with ourselves, and to one another. Particularly, the focus today is going to be on corporate singing and corporate worship. And that's how the music is. We sing in this church. I said I wouldn't say this, but I'm preaching to the choir here. I know you love to sing. But that's great. I mean, it is one of the key evidences of salvation. God's people sing to him, but primarily, most often, of the songs in Scripture, they're directed to God, from us to him. We're singing to him. Now, also in the Scripture, it tells us we sing to one another as well. So it's an importance in doing that corporately. That's why these Scripture verses in Ephesians and Colossians are in the context of a local church, where we can, and in the worship of the local church. That's when we need to use our voices and raise our voices to sing to him. And worship is what we are to be doing and what we will do on into eternity, right? It's the thing that's not going to stop when we die, when the end of the world comes, when Christ comes to judge the world. Worship will continue forever in a sinless way in God's kingdom. If we look at Ephesians chapter 5, we see, and I like the English Standard Version in this case, that Paul writes, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." And that's key here in understanding singing, to be filled in a context, how important it is for the Holy Spirit to be involved in true singing. Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. And that's the best translation of that verse. With your heart. In other words, when we sing to the Lord, it's supposed to come from, prompted by the Holy Spirit, from our heart. And I think it brings us up short if we think of how often we sing, that sometimes we're not even aware of what we're doing. We're going through the motions, we're singing the words, but could it be really portrayed as from our hearts? Can we really have when we sing? Sometimes we do. But not always. So I think it's an important lesson. And it says, then it continues, to the Lord with the heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All those verses are important, and we consider singing. You can sing without a heart for the Lord. Many people are involved in music, and even in the church, you can sing. You can get into singing. I mean, it's enjoyable. It's a gift of God. God gave mankind music. Back in the Old Testament, I believe it was Jubal. That's where they get the word jubilation, right? the first with musical instruments, but again, all through Scripture, we have singing. But you can sing. You can really get into music, even Christian music, and instrument playing without being saved, without having a heart for the Lord. And in that case, it's not glorifying to God. It's not a blessing to others, to the saints. And it's kind of scary that we can do that. And so the question is, has God put a new song in your heart, even praise to our God? When we sing, are we singing from a heart that's been renewed, been changed, been born again? Are we evidencing the work of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Or are we just into music and like music and we like the songs? And well, even as if you we are born again, even if we are saved, we can do that at times, right? We can lapse into that where we're just singing the words, not thinking about the words, and we're going through the motions. I hope if you're here this morning and you heard the message this morning from Pastor Bob and you're hearing this now, that you would cry out to the Lord to give you that kind of a heart, because you don't have it by yourself. You don't have it by nature. You're not born with that heart. You need the Lord to save you and give you that, so that your music brings glory to Him, that you truly are then able to praise God, to give Him thanks, to declare His greatness and His goodness, His worth. That's what we do when we worship God. We declare His worth and all, particularly the Lord, all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Otherwise, we're like, as described in 1 Corinthians 13:1, clanging cymbal. We're just noise. That's what God hears if there's no heart behind our music. Even the best of voices is just noise, like a clanging cymbal, apart from the love of God shed abroad in the heart. Well, God's people are to sing individually and corporately especially. And one of the best ways that we can worship God individually, even, surprisingly, when we're praying, when we're having time with God, is to sing. It helps. One guy, I don't know if you ever heard of him, he has a quote here. This guy, Martin, I think his first name was. Luther, yes, Martin Luther. Are we familiar with that name in this church? No, never heard of it. Okay, well, anyway, he's a very godly man. He says, "When I cannot pray, I always sing." Think about that for a minute. There's times when it's hard for believers to pray. We're cold, we're guilty, we're whatever. But we can pray, and prayer will help. It'll stir us up. It'll encourage our hearts to be able to truly pray and worship God on our own. But it's just as much the case in the assembly. When we're gathered together to worship God, we need to sing. We need to worship God in song, to give Him thanks. That's what we're called to do, to give God praise and thanksgiving and blessing, bless Him. So that's the key in understanding the proper use of music in the Scriptures. In Psalm 100, we read, it's a psalm of thanksgiving. "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all your lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence." This is individually, but uniquely in the presence of the Lord, with His special presence in the worship service. "Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." That's what we're to give Him praise. And the songs we sing should be about that. They shouldn't just be all about us. Sadly, throughout the history of the church, many man-centered hymns have come into the church. And it's all about the person and how they're feeling and how they want to feel and what this does for them. And that's not the best type of singing, especially in the church. But again, the focus needs to be mainly on God, and we're aware that we're singing to the Lord and to one another. We're to be encouraging one another, blessing one another with our singing. And that, again, I'm going to mention this again later on, but that doesn't depend on our voice. The quality of our voice or how much we want to be heard or don't want to be heard, we don't have a choice. We have to sing to the Lord, sing out, and sing with the heart, from the heart. And that's what's glorifying to God, and that's what's going to be a blessing to one another. Rejoice in Psalm 33:1, in the Lord, you righteous. He's directing it to the righteous in the Lord. For praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. It should be a note in our singing that there's joy. And if we don't have joy, how are we going to get it? One of the best ways is by singing. It stirs up the heart. It's from the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, right? Love, joy. And so as we're singing in the Spirit, we can stir up that joy, because oftentimes we're sad, we're depressed, we're discouraged. We don't feel like worshiping God or even praying, but that joy can come about as we sing. Psalm 41, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my step. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. It's a way of our expressing our new heart, and the Lord has given us a song. This is not just for some Christians. This is the reality for all Christians. That's why we have no excuse. We should sing regardless of our skill level, regardless of our comfortableness. We should be forcing ourselves, if that's the right word, to sing, because oftentimes the heart will come along after we start and we try to do it. And will the Lord, with the help of the Holy Spirit, will enable us to do that. So important. Psalm 91:4, 1-4, a song for the Sabbath day, for the Lord's day. He says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. He's directing his voice to the Lord in the song, right? To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Morning worship, evening worship, afternoon worship, whenever we are to declare his praises and to thank him on an instrument of 10 strings, on a lute, on the harp, with harmonious sounds. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. Has the Lord made you glad through his work? Do we feel any appreciation and love and joy for what the Lord has done for us? Then we need to sing it and declare, God has been merciful to me, a sinner. He saved me. Look, this is what the Lord Jesus has done for me. He saved me. Praise him, and give him glory and praise. It's so good that we have the whole Bible to use as a songbook. And not only Psalms are great and inspired and wonderful, but we have the whole Bible and information from the whole Bible. One of the hymns, I was going to bring a hymn book up here, but I didn't, is How Firm a Foundation. You get to look at that, read that sometimes. It's good to read through hymns. Just read through the hymn book and read the words. If you're not going to sing them, even just some of them that are better, really good. That's one key to good hymns, is they need to be scriptural. And in that particular hymn, How Firm a Foundation, every line is taken from Scripture. Every line, read it. I won't read it now for time's sake, and because I didn't bring a hymnal up yet. But it's a good word-centered hymn, and all our hymns should be choruses, whenever they should be word-centered, because they have to communicate truth. It's not just about feelings, although the feelings are important. The feelings will come, right, as we're singing from the heart, but it's not all about feelings. It's easy to get people, even unsaved people, stirred up with music. And then back in the day, they used to do that at the evangelistic rallies. They'd get everybody worked up, and then Just As I Am, and everybody would start coming forward. And you can manipulate people with music. You can manipulate children, sadly, with music. But we need to sing. Again, it's what God uses to declare his praise, to declare all the work. And again, it's directed to God and is giving him praise. There's that joy and that power. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. We're not going to be around forever. Some of us a lot less than others. But while we live, while we have our being, we are to praise the Lord, right? But the good news is that they won't stop at the grave. We will go on praising the Lord forever. That's something that's not going to end. Listen to what it says in Revelation. It says, "Now when they had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they, the saints, sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation.'" And again in Revelation 14, they sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. That's God's people, who were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So it's something that's going to be going on forever in eternity to praise God, and God alone deserves that worship. The Lamb of God, who is worthy to open the seal, the only one, is getting the praise and adoration of his people in heaven. But this should be a foretaste of heaven. What we do, and again, if we're not doing it, if we're not enjoying singing, Just try to get into it. Ask God to help you. And this is one key point here is the work necessity of the work of the Spirit. We read in Ephesians about being filled with the Spirit, and right after that, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's a spiritual action. It takes the work of the Spirit to do it. And to be truly being able to praise God. I found a unique account of God's people in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles. And if we'll be reading this very shortly soon, if we're following the reading schedule by Pastor Dan gave out, that we'll be getting to 2 Chronicles at some point. Just a little plug for his reading schedule there that we need to do. 2 Chronicles 5:11-14, "And it came to pass that the priests came out of the most holy place." They were the only ones that could go in. "For all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping into their divisions. And the Levites, who were the singers," they were the singers, "all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun with their sons and their brethren stood at the east end of the altar clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps. And one of them, 120 priests, sounded with trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass, when the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord." Praising and thanking the Lord. "And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, for his mercy endures forever.'" Amen? He is good, and his mercy endures forever. "That the house of the Lord," listen to this, "the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house." Amazing. They were singing. They were singing, "For he is good, and his mercy endures forever." You can just use your sanctified imagination to be there and to hear that. But then, to be able to not, they weren't even able to continue because the Lord's glory came down. And we can experience that presence and that glory in the worship service. As we sing from our hearts and give praise to God, it's from the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual, these are spiritual songs and hymns. That's Colossians 3:16. Let the word of the Lord dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, comma, singing praise and hymns and spiritual songs from the Spirit, spiritual songs to God, to one another, with thankfulness in your hearts. Again, so much involved there and so many important things. Throughout the history of the church, God's people encouraged themselves with songs. In the book of James, in chapter 5, in verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Well, we know we suffer at times as God's people, right? James says it. Is anybody suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Sing to the Lord. It's good to encourage our hearts in the Lord, even when we're sad. Again, God's people have done that throughout the ages. And in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 16, I'm sure you're already way ahead of me. Acts chapter 16, where I'm going. 16 and verse 25, but at midnight, this is after they were beaten, thrown into the deepest dark prison, and bound up in shackles, and what did they have to rejoice in? They had the Lord to rejoice in. And what did they do? But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. They were encouraging themselves, encouraging one another, encouraging themselves, praising God and thanking God in a stinking, dark, damp, horrible prison after being beaten and for the Lord. That's what God's people do. And the last point is that the Lord sings. We have a Savior who sings. You know that? The Lord Jesus Christ, he sings. And we see that in Matthew, when he was on earth, he sang and he was eating. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples. Take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink the fruit of this vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So the Lord Jesus Christ was praying always, he was preaching, and he was singing psalms, hymns, and you know about spiritual songs, but he was singing. But it doesn't stop there. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, 11 and 13, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call us brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will sing to you. That's Christ. It's speaking about Christ. It's speaking by Christ. And finally, this encouraging verse. Can't get encouraged by this verse. You're in big trouble. Zephaniah 3, 14 through 17. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. That's us. The Lord rejoicing over us with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you, here it is, with singing. We have a singing Lord, a singing Savior who rejoices over us. How can we not rejoice ourselves and give him praise and worship and rejoice in the Lord. It's so much. We have so much to be thankful for. Just some words of admonition. Again, learn to sing. If you're not gifted, it doesn't matter. If you can't play, it doesn't matter. If you can't sing, it doesn't matter. We're to learn to sing and sing out to the Lord from the heart. We're not. There's something wrong. We need to sing, regardless of whether we're embarrassed or not. Sing to the Lord. Through the day, let the songs. I find it so often that the children's songs come into my head, you know, because I'm getting childish in my old age. But they're simple, and they're good, and they pop in because I sung them to my kids. You know, one of the best things, memories we have is doing family worship, and we would always sing when we do family worship. I even found a family worship hymn book, which I'd like to order some copies from the church, but we should be doing family worship, and one of part of that family worship needs to include singing. And again, singing the children's songs, the ones they know, singing about the Lord, and even for ourselves, to encourage ourselves in prayer, just singing to the Lord through the day. When you're feeling depressed, when you're feeling discouraged, try singing. It helps. Try singing to the Lord, praising him. There's something about giving the Lord praise, no matter how we feel, that'll get us out of that depression, that discouragement. So do it. Creation sings. We read that I believe it was in Psalm 33 about, no, that's not it. Where is it? Psalm 44. Sorry. Psalm 44. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, you mountains, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Creation sings. In other words, creation gives glory and praise to God. And so where's our excuse? We shouldn't have an excuse. We should not use that any excuse. And, of course, the best music is word sentence music. It's music that's sung and with musical instruments that are played well. We're seeking to glorify God, so it's good to have good music to accompany. We're particularly blessed in this church with those who use their gifts, and that should be the music shouldn't be distracting from the words, right? Some places you go and you hear music, Christian music, and the music is so loud, you can't tell what they're singing about. It's just all about the music, you know? But the music should accompany, instruments and musicians should be an accompaniment to the singing, should help it, but our singing is to be to the Lord and to one another, to bring glory to him. And again, word-based hymns, focusing on the person and work of Christ. Praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. We sing about him. We sing about his work. That's a great privilege we have. And we can find Christ in the Psalms. We can find him in the Old Testament. But we find him more clearly in the New Testament. We learn about his redemption. And the songs we sing should be praises to the Lord for his all the work that he's done against that example. And again, just following the example, nothing else, the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who sang hymns and psalms and sang in joy, rejoicing over us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that, Father, you've revealed these things to us, and you've truly put a new song in our hearts, even praise to our God. We pray that we would enjoy singing more, and that we would use singing and praising you and giving you thanks as a way to bring glory to you and to bless one another. Help us, Father, and we just pray for your blessing and glory in this, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.